Good morning. It's good to be back with you. I haven't said Blessed Easter to you. I know it's a week late, but last week we were visiting our family in Namibia and we spent Easter weekend down at Sakopmund and went to church actually at Walvis Bay Baptist last Sunday and enjoyed some time with the folk there. And it's good again to be back and just reflect a little bit on the message of Easter and more importantly on the resurrection. That's a word of prayer before we begin today's message. Lord, I thank you again for every remembrance we have of what you did for us. Thank you for reminding us last weekend, Lord, of your wonderful sacrifice and willingness to go to the cross on our behalf. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for that. As we spend some time together in your word again today, Lord. We just again ask that you would encourage us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Today I want to look at what I've been called encountering the risen Lord. Over the last week and during the course of the next 2 weeks, I have. And I will be looking at the appearances of Jesus after his resurrection in my devotions. I send these out via WhatsApp and Facebook and Instagram. Traditionally, scholars have recorded a number of events, about 15 of these. And so far, we've looked at the first resurrection appearance to Mary Magdalene in Mark chapter 16 or John chapter 20. Then, as he appears to the other woman, the other Mary and Salome in Matthew 28. Then, when he appears to Peter. Then, he appears to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Then, he appears to all the disciples without Thomas. And then, 8 days later, he appears to all the disciples, including Thomas. And we've looked at those during this last week. In the week to come, and the week following that, we'll look at him appearing to seven of the disciples who were fishing on the Sea of Galilee. Then we're going to look at when he appears to the 11 disciples and commissions them in Matthew 28. And then we discovered he appeared to 500 people at one point in time. We discovered he appeared to James, his brother. And then he seems to have appeared to the apostles or the disciples a number of times over the 40 days before the ascension. Then, of course, on the day of ascension, in Acts chapter 1 and Luke chapter 24, and then after his ascension, he appears to Stephen as Stephen has been martyred. Of course, we know he appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus, and then his final appearance here on earth was to John on the island of Patmos. Each event has something unique to teach us. However, today I want to look at what is common and the united theme of the resurrection encounters. So, as we consider these resurrection encounters, what can we learn from them? What do they, how do they affect us today in the world we're living in today? Well, firstly, the encounters with the risen Christ give credibility to the truth of the resurrection. Friends, there's no doubt in my mind that the resurrection is a historical fact. You see, if there were only a few recorded incidences of the encounters with the risen Christ, people could have reason to doubt the truth of the event. As I was researching this for this message, I discovered that there is a lot of debate on the internet and in scientific and religious circles about the mathematical probabilities of the resurrection. The answers go from 1 to 1 with 157 zeros behind it. That's just a number that I can't even pronounce. Of course, to scientists who have calculated that there is zero possibility for the resurrection. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry has some theory to prove or to disprove the truth of the resurrection. I don't have the time to go through all the different arguments that I looked at as to one way or another. I want to just add my little contribution to what I believe helps us believe in the truth of the resurrection. First of all, I want to make a few statements. Firstly, the greater the number of people that saw the resurrected Lord, the greater the possibility that it is true. Friends, if Jesus appeared to one person, you could say maybe you kind of had a dream. If he appeared to two or three, well, maybe you'll begin to believe that. But the fact that Jesus appeared to individuals, he appeared to small groups of people, he appeared to the disciples on more than one occasion, he appeared on one occasion to 500 different people, friends. The fact that there is a greater number of people, the greater the number of people that saw the resurrected Lord, the greater the possibility that it is true. Friends, it's not an isolated incident. There are a number of different people who record the fact that they saw Jesus. Secondly, the greater the number of people that can't produce a physical body of Jesus, even after they made every effort to ensure that the body wouldn't be stolen, the greater the possibility is that it's true. Of course, the Jews and the Romans tried very hard to spread a lie that the disciples had stolen the body of Jesus. But friends, I think history has proven that, well, if the disciples had stolen the body of Jesus, why were they willing to die for him? Kind of doesn't make sense. So, if people can't produce the body of Jesus, and if the disciples didn't take the body of Jesus, where is his body? If you can't produce the body, then the resurrection must be true. Thirdly, the greater the number of occasions the resurrected Lord appeared, the greater the possibility is that it's true. If Jesus appeared maybe to 10,000 people on one occasion, friends, even that could be, you know, kind of misconstrued as being kind of manipulation. But the fact that Jesus appeared on a number of different occasions in different places, on a mountain, next to the sea, behind locked doors, at the tomb. Friends, there are a number of different places and occasions Jesus met with somebody. Surely that makes the possibility of the resurrection being true a lot higher. Number four, the greater the number of people who are willing to die because of the truth, the greater the possibility that it is true. Friends, every disciple bar one died an unnatural death. Surely that speaks volumes. And it's not only the immediate disciples, friends. There were many who were dying, many who had been put to death, many who had been burned at the stake, many who had been used as human torches in the parties of Nero. Friends, the greater the number of people who are willing to die because of the truth, the greater the possibility is that it is true. Number five, the greater the effect of this truth on the world, the greater the possibility is that it's true. Friends, the very fact that the world kind of calendar starts, day zero being the birth of Christ, kind of gives us an indicator that, you know, maybe Jesus is quite important. Of course, the scientific world and the intellectual world have changed it before, from being before Christ or after Christ, AD or BC, to before the Christian era. No, friends, it's before Christ. Let's not delude ourselves. Jesus is a very real person. There are accounts in Roman historians. There are accounts in the Jewish historian Josephus. Surely, friends, we need to believe in the historicity of Jesus. But number six, friends, the greater the impact of this truth has on me personally, the greater the possibility is that it's true. Friends, I'm convinced it's true. I don't have some magical formula. I've only got about 40 years of study in biblical truth. But friends, I have my heartfelt belief. Nobody can take that away from me, friends. There's a deep, deep inner conviction that the resurrection is the truth. While I believe there is enough historical or mathematical or logical or scientific evidence to prove the resurrection, in the end, friends, it's a matter of faith. You can choose either to believe or you can choose to ignore. Someone once said, well, if I'm wrong, I lose nothing. However, if you're wrong, you lose everything. I'm not willing to take that risk. Friends, many have said, and I also say it, I believe that it takes more faith to ignore than to believe the resurrection. You choose. So firstly, the encounter with the risen Christ, friends, gives credibility to the truth of the resurrection. Not only the encounters of the past, but my personal encounter with the resurrected Christ gives credibility to the truth of the resurrection. Secondly, the encounters with the risen Christ, friends, are wonderfully individual. While Jesus did meet with groups of people, even when he met with groups of people, there always seemed to be some personal element to the encounter. I just love that about these different encounters. To Mary Magdalene, it was assurance. I haven't left you, Mary. I'm still here. To Peter, it was forgiveness. Peter, you messed up, but don't worry. I've still got a place for you. To the two going to Emmaus, it was evidence. All these things were happening around them, and they didn't know what to believe. Jesus meets them and shows them from the scriptures. And then, friends, from reenacting the truth of the Lord's Supper, that he was who he was. For the disciples without Thomas, it was peace. Peace, he said. Peace I give you. When they met with Thomas, when Jesus met the disciples with Thomas, it was about faith. Do you believe? Thomas, do you believe? Stop doubting, Thomas. Not only to all the disciples, not only Thomas, but all the disciples. Man, stop doubting. I'm alive. To the seven disciples fishing on the Sea of Galilee, it was about conviction. Man, I told you guys before, you're not going to be fishers of fish, but you're going to be fishers of men. If you want to be fishers of fish, I'll give you all the fish that you want. But friend, let me teach you how to be a fisher of men. For the disciples on the Mount of Galilee, it was commission. Go into all the world. All authority has been given to me. For over 500 disciples at once, it was undeniable proof that he could appear to 500 people at one time. Friends, was such a wonderful message to the world around them. For James, his brother, it was surrender. When Jesus was walking the face of the earth, his family weren't sure about him. They kind of wondered whether he truly was kind of all there. But now, James becomes a believer. At the Mount of Olives, at his ascension, it was preparation. Go and wait in Jerusalem. I'll be with you at some point in time. For Stephen the martyr, it was vindication. I see the Lord. I see him up there. For Saul on the road to Damascus, it was calling. Who are you, Lord? For John on the Isle of Patmos, it was revelation. John, this is who I am. This is what's going to happen. Friends, Jesus always meets us at our point of need. Every testimony is unique. Friend, don't try to copy other believers' encounters with Christ. There may be some similarities, friends, but Jesus wants to meet you. He doesn't want to meet anybody else, friends. He wants to meet you. He's ready to encounter you. Friends, every encounter with Christ is wonderfully individual. Jesus is ready to meet you at your point of need. Jesus is ready to meet you where you're at. If you want to meet him, just ask him to show himself to you. Thirdly, the encounters with the risen Christ, friends, are not normally what we expect. I kind of think when Jesus met with different people, they seldom follow the pattern we would expect. You know, I think if we were going to expect Jesus to meet with people, we would kind of expect this, you know, sort of holy moment, you know, kind of, perhaps a lack of feeling or whatever the case. But some of the friends' encounters are comforting. He comes to Mary and he says to her, Mary. Some are convicting. Thomas, stop doubting. Some are confronting. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Some are convicting, friends. Friends, every encounter is not what we expect. Friend, God still encounters us. He encounters us through his word. Friends, God will call one person through one verse, but he'll call another person through another verse. Some people will be reading the book of Genesis and Leviticus and be called by Christ. Others come across John 3 verse 16 and are convicted by the truth. Friend, God works in mysterious ways. Not only does he work through his word, but he works through his works, through life circumstances. Some have been Christians all their lives, and at some point in time they realize, been in a Christian environment all their lives, and sometimes they realize, I do need to make this commitment for myself and then become a Christian. Others have lived a life of kind of disregarding God, and God moves into their hearts and they change. Some through miracle. God does something miraculous and turns them toward himself. Sometimes God works through his witnesses. It's through the preaching of the word, friends, that people come under conviction. It's through the testimony of the saints that people come under conviction. Sometimes God works through his spirit. Just the still, small voice that tells somebody God is looking for them and wants to encounter them, and they begin to search for the truth of who God is. Friends, God's God. He'll decide how he's going to encounter people. Don't expect him to meet him in the way that you think he should meet him. Friend, as you read through the scriptures and we discover the way people encounter God, friends, there's such wonderful variety. But God wants to encounter. Be ready for the unexpected, friends. God's ready to meet you. Fourthly, encounters with the risen Christ result in changed lives. Every person that met the risen Lord's lives were changed. The disciples, friends, become missionaries of the message of Jesus. James, the brother of Jesus, who doubted who Jesus was, eventually became the leader of the Jerusalem church. Paul, previously known as Saul, went from being the chief persecutor of the church to the one person who was most persecuted for his faith. Friends, when you encounter the risen Christ, your life should change. I want to make this bold statement. It's this. If your life does not change after you encounter Christ, you most likely haven't encountered him. You cannot stay the same when the risen Christ has touched your life. You cannot remain in your sin. You cannot remain unwilling to spread the gospel message. You cannot just be normal. Friend, when Jesus encounters you, your life will change. Number five, encounters with a risen life, friends, result in commissioned lives. The message of the risen Lord, almost every time he met with somebody, was this: go and tell somebody else. Almost every time, friends, when he met Mary, go and tell the disciples. When he met two on the road to the disciples, go and tell the disciples. When he met the woman on the road, go and tell the disciples. When he met the disciples, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the ends of the world. To Peter he said, feed my sheep. To Paul he said, tell the Gentiles who I am. Friends, every encounter with the risen Christ results in a commission. The commission, friends, is not limited to those who are called, to those who are full-time. The commission of Christ, friends, rests on the shoulders of everybody who has encountered the risen Christ. Why is that? Why do we have this message to tell others about the risen Christ? It's this, friends, and with this I close. The final encounter of Jesus was with John on the island of Patmos. And what was his message to John? I'm coming back again. Friends, why does Jesus want us to take the message? Because he's coming again. And when he comes again, friends, there's no second chance for anybody. When Jesus comes again, the opportunity to surrender to the risen Christ comes to an end. Friend, if you've encountered Christ, you have a commission. Go. Go tell others. Jesus is risen from the dead. Let's pray together. Lord, we've got a wonderful message. It's a life-giving message because your conquering of death gives us hope, Lord, that for us, death is not the end. Lord, lay the burden of the commission of telling others about you on our hearts so that we will be ready to tell others about your resurrection so that they'll be ready for your coming. We pray that for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, I trust that Jesus meets you and he meets you face to face. And when you've met him, friend, you'll be changed for all of your life. Lord bless.